choir, while the choir is coming down, I want to share a little of the inner action that I had with the scripture. I have been preaching from the book of Ephesians for the last 6 months, whether you know it or not, and then I began to pray and to seek what would the next, possibly the last series of me that I would ever preach. And I thought about that and I said, well, my calling is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And so for the next umpteenth weeks and possibly longer, I'll be preaching on the life, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And certainly I had planned to preach this morning on the virgin birth, because that's where it all begins, that God comes down in the person of his son and is also born a human being to the Virgin Mary. So I was prepared to preach on the virgin birth. But then I kept getting back to this Gospel of Matthew, and that's not where the Gospel of Matthew begins. And I said, surely, Lord, in my prayers, you don't want me to preach on begots and begottens. Well, yes, the answer became fairly clear. That's what God would have me do, to tell you the story of the background of Jesus Christ, both that you might wonder that God has come to this planet in the person of his son, and who had a background, but he came in a unique way. And so turning to the Gospel of Matthew, I just want to read very few verses of the begots and the begottens. And this is the word of God, and God intends us to wonder and gaze upon this genealogy. I remember one of the ladies in the congregation telling my wife, it must be tough being a preacher's wife. And Miriam's response was, bless her heart, no, it's glorious being a preacher's wife. And here I look at this long list of names that mean nothing to me, except that this is the background of the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And this list of genealogy is a glorious revelation, not only of how God did it, but why God did it, because we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and every person that I read about was dead in their trespasses and sin, but God made them alive. And the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, begins this way. And you begin to think about, well, Abraham was a great man, wasn't he? Yes, he was. But he was a sinner saved by grace. David was the king that God used this as an example when he sent his son into the world, a king like David was. But David was a dreadful sinner. So we have Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And then we run into this. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar, his daughter-in-law. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And so the story goes. It's an amazing story. And it's a glorious story about how God brought his son into the world so that you would not have to go to hell and you would not have to live in the misery of doubt and fear the rest of your life. And so God greets us in this glorious genealogy. And as we begin to certainly look into the details of this, let's ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what we need to know. Father, I pray that in my speaking and in my hearing, that I may truly become a doer of the word. And what I pray for myself, I pray for this whole congregation and for your people everywhere. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was called back by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to look closely, more closely, at Christ's amazing genealogy. And the more amazing account of the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he wouldn't have been here at all had not God sent him into the world through this line of believers and of unbelievers. So I had carelessly bypassed this genealogy so many times and begun a series on the life of Christ by talking about the virgin birth, but that's not where it begins. I was moved to the very depths of my heart when I read through this genealogy again and realized this is the record of the human race before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And certainly when you begin to think about how Christ came into the world, he came, yes, by the virgin birth, but he also teaches us in his word, why was it necessary for Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin? It's because the whole human race was affected by sin. And from Adam and Eve onward, and the roll call of the genealogy of Jesus Christ is a story about people who were saved by grace. And therefore, I realized that the virgin birth was an absolute necessity. It's the core, the foundation upon which Christian theology rests, because God had done it in a marvelous way. And I found out the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone could be our Savior. When God was teaching his people in the wilderness about how to worship him, he taught them to take, even before they left Egypt, to take a lamb, and it had to be the firstborn of the ewe, and it had to be without spot and without blemish of any kind. And I realized, as I read through this genealogy again, every person on here, save one, was with spot and blemish, sin. And there could be no perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world without the coming of Jesus Christ by the virgin birth into the world. And so the reason why that's so important is that no one else qualifies and no one else is without sin. And totally, totally amazed that God would do it in just this way. And Matthew wanted to prove that Jesus was the promised Messiah, not only of the Jews, but of the whole world. So he carefully worked out this list of Jesus' ancestors. And if I promised not to go through this list one by one, would you keep on listening? And certainly, Matthew began his genealogy with Abraham, the father of the faithful. But Luke came along and added his genealogy all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we have this amazing story. Abraham was the hero of the Jewish people, and rightly so. But do you know what Abraham did before he was willing to offer up Isaac? He lied. He lied to the world around him about who his wife was, to protect himself from murder and from killing, as he thought that the people in Canaan would kill him so they could take his wife. So not once, but twice, Abraham disqualified himself as the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, as certainly the scriptures honestly reports. Oh, he was a believer, and he was a remarkable man, and he is called the friend of God, and he is called the father of the faithful. And when Jesus was trying to paint a picture of heaven, in one of the stories he told, he said, Lazarus died and went and joined Abraham. And so he certainly was a godly man, but he was not without spot and blemish. And even though he was willing to offer up his son, yet God had told him that because you have done this thing, I will bless the nations of the world, but not through your descendants. And Matthew goes on quickly to Isaac and Jacob without even trying to cover up their sins. Then of all things, this Jewish historian also included some very sinful women in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? And that makes you wonder why he would include such names as pop up in this list. There was Jacob, who tricked his own brother out of his inheritance, and Judah, who offered himself as a slave to save his younger brother. But Judah was the one who had incestuous relationships with his daughter-in-law. And as a result of that, twins were born. And certainly the Hebrews coming out of Egypt knew that their awesome God, who had destroyed the mighty power of Egypt, and they escaped into the wilderness. But when they came to Jericho, who hid them? And who was the hero of that story, the heroine of that story? It was Rahab. You know what her profession was? She was probably running the chief house of ill repute, I'll put it that way, in all of the city of Jericho. And yet, she had heard God was bringing his people out of Egypt, and she longed to know more about him. And she wanted to know who this God is that I've heard so much about. And lo and behold, God answered her seeking by sending the two Jewish spies to her inn that she operated. And when they talked with her, and when she heard about the mighty acts of God, her heart was transformed, and she became one of the chief people who welcomed God's people into the promised land. But before, she had been a prostitute, and she had known that about this awesome God, but she didn't know him. And I like to think that Salmon, who finally married her, was one of those spies, or in the company with one of those spies. And I like to think when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, that there was a warrior there named Salmon, and he had heard about this woman. And I think he walked up to her after the battle and said, "Will you marry me?" Just that quick. Well, I have a story similar to that with Miriam, but certainly it was different. But I like to think that there in the presence of all of her family, her father and mother and brothers and sisters, that she committed herself to becoming a Jew and becoming a Hebrew and becoming a believer. And then in this genealogy, there is David, the shepherd boy, whom God identified here is a man after my own heart. And God raised him up, and God delivered him over and over again. It was David that wrote the 23rd Psalm and most of the other Psalms. But David was a sinner. He needed grace to forgive him for murder and for adultery. These are in the line of Jesus Christ's ancestors. And all of those who unworthily followed David on the throne of Judah, some of them were scoundrels and rascals. There was Solomon, who started off well, and Solomon prayed for great wisdom to govern God's people. But Solomon fell into sin, and Solomon built temples to other gods. I think God had punished him because with 1,000 wives, you're going to have 1,000 mother-in-laws too. And maybe that was part of God's way of disciplining Solomon. But the list goes on. And finally, there was Manasseh. Manasseh reigned longer than any king who had ever been over Jerusalem. And he participated in not only building temples for the gods and goddesses, but took prostitutes into the temple of God, and that became part of the worship. And not only that, but he was the king that introduced child sacrifice into Judah. And they would had this big molten image in the temple of God. And then they would create a vast amount of heat through that furnace. And then they would lay the little babies in the God's hands. And they would disappear and burn out. But of all things, and God said, because of this, I will bring an end to Judah, but not to the influence of Manasseh, because Manasseh realized what he had done. And Manasseh fell down before the Lord God and asked for the blood to be applied to his heart. And Manasseh repented. Oh, it was too late to undo all of the wrong he had done, but Manasseh is in heaven. Manasseh repented before God, and that's the key to anybody who wants to go to heaven. You have to repent, not only feel badly about what you've done, but turn your back on it and start doing what is right and good. And you know how I know that Manasseh was sincere? Because he was a grandfather, and his grandson was hailed as the best king who has ever reigned in Judah. He was a godly man, and he brought about certainly the revival of God's people by spreading the word that God would have mercy on his people. Yes, Manasseh died at an early, Josiah died at an early age, but I like to think that Manasseh's repentance was so real that he bypassed his son, who was a wicked man, and began to influence his grandson, who was a godly man. And it says of his grandson, Josiah, he was the best king that Judah ever had. And I like to think that Manasseh had a role in that. And so what's the point of all of this? Well, beginning with Adam and including godly Abraham, then there is that passage in the book of Romans that says, but if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust to inflict wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported and affirmed that we say this, their condemnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks, as it is written. Listen, there is none righteous. No, not one. Abraham was a godly man, but he was not included among the sinless righteous. Only one person who has ever been born was without spot and blemish, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist called him, who takes away the sin of the world. And the only reason he can take it away is he himself was not a sinner. He was the Son of God, the perfect man, and who represents us before the Father. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so as we consider the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came into the world, and both Luke and Matthew make a definite point of saying Joseph was not his natural father. Joseph was his adopted father. But Joseph recognized that my son, who has come into my life by my wife's encounter with the Holy Spirit, is the Son of God. Do you believe that? He can take away the depth of your sin. He can take away the shame of your sin. He has identified himself as, I am the door. If anyone will enter in, he will be saved. So we have this glorious picture of the background of Jesus Christ. He is the door. He stands ready to receive those who repent and trust in him. Each one of his ancestors repented and came to God by way of the cross, trusting in his word and his son. And the door is still open. And of all of these ancestors of Jesus Christ, there were many, many who did never acknowledge their sin. And the blood of Jesus does not cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And when we confess him, we're confessing that we're sinners saved by grace, and then we walk in his footsteps. So that's the value of this long list of begots and begotten, to open in your heart a door that Christ may enter, cast out your sin, and save you forever. So let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this marvelous revelation of your Son's genealogy, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And all who are saved by his shed blood, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I pray, Father, that if there are any in this congregation today doubting of their salvation or knowing that they are not saved, that you would reach down through this message and bring them safely into the kingdom, that they might live with him forever and ever. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.